Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Listening to another episode of Lords of Limited with your hosts Ben Wernie and Ethan Sachs.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lords of Limited. My name is Ben Wernie, and joining me on the line is Ethan, the comeback kid, Sachs. You had an insane comeback win yesterday with Stunlock.
That was crazy. So yeah, so Stunlock FTW on Twitch, who's also a fellow Pittsburgher, came over to my house yesterday and we streamed for a little bit and just had the craziest game of Magic that we had no business winning. I think you put our win percentage at 0.00001% to win the game.
It was ridiculous.
So for cards like, we were playing an Hour of Devastation queue, and for cards like Fling or like Lethal Sting, anything that's like, when you cast it, you have to do this thing, the clicking for it on Magic Online is not perhaps the most intuitive, because maybe you think what I'm going to do first is pay for the cost and click the creature that I'm going to sacrifice with Fling, and then I'll click the thing that I'm going to target with it.
No,
what you do is you click the thing you're going to target, then you pay the mana, and then you pay additional cost to cast it. So sacrifice a creature, put a -1/-1 counter if it's Lethal Sting, anything like that. So our opponent cast Fling at our, like, throwing a 5/5 creature at our face when we were at 4 life. So I was like, great, I'm going to go ahead. I, like, right-clicked concede game. I, like, hovered over the concede game button, and then I was like, let me just check the chat log and see if they cast Fling correctly, and they did not. And then they proceeded to just, like, that spiraled them into this, like, tilt downfall of making mistake after mistake after mistake, which was a pretty apropos thing for them to do after our last episode.
Yeah, you should have linked it in chat.
No, I could not have done that to them. But yeah, it was just like, you know, they had many opportunities after that to win the game.
You were dead to rights like 2 other times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like one time you top decked and one time they just didn't attack you for some reason.
Yep. If you want to check out that clip, I highlighted it for my stream. So you can go to twitch.tv/LordTupperware and go to videos, and it should be called HOU Comeback. It's like an 11-minute clip, and I think definitely worth watching, if not for anything other than my reactions throughout the entire video.
Oh my God, yeah. It's so good. It is well worth 11 minutes of your time to go check out. It's got it all. It's got drama, intrigue, suspense.
I know. I laughed, I cried.
Happy ending?
It does have a happy ending. Dr. Katz was like, the best part of that video is the whitest high five I've ever seen at the end of it. I was like, all right, thank you. How was your week, buddy?
It was good. I streamed almost every day. I was too pooped on Friday, but it's been great to have time to stream. So yeah, thanks everybody that's been tuning in, and it's been awesome. Hoping to keep it up.
It's been great as a viewer to have you in the evenings. I mean, like, there's just like not a lot of people doing Limited anymore.
Yeah, I think people are off Ixalan, which is too bad, because I think it's a fine format.
We are on Ixalan, baby. We are going to be going hard on Ixalan today.
Yeah.
What's the trophy leaderboard looking like for you?
Good. So I wrapped up Iconic Masters with 10 trophies in 25 drafts, overall record of 55-20 for a 73% win rate. And Ixalan, I came back. I continued my hot streak from Iconic Masters. I've trophied like 5 out of my last 8 drafts or something.
Cool, boy.
With a finals appearance or 2 in there. And I now have 30 trophies in 85 drafts, 174-76 record for a 69.6% win rate.
Attaboy. Nicely done. Yeah, so I finished up Iconic Masters with 13 trophies, ending with this really sweet red-black dragons deck, which ended up being kind of my favorite archetype in the format, which, or maybe at least my biggest mover from the start, because going into the set review, I was like, this deck looks terrible. And I really think it was a really, really fun and very powerful deck when you got the pieces, namely Bladewing and Dragon Tempest.
That's so funny because I feel exactly about dragons as I did at the start of the format. And I drafted a really sweet dragons deck for my last draft too, and I didn't feel sweet about it at all.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, it only came together for me a few times, but I think I trophied with both of those times. So it's probably just my, you know, experience, like being like, oh, I won, so I probably did a good deck. But I actually really think it is pretty powerful when it comes together.
It's super powerful. It goes over the top of everything else. Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's true.
But I unfortunately, I started also doing some stipulation drafts, so I stopped tracking my matches the last few days. So I don't actually have a like win-loss record, but it was probably still floating around 67-66% as I, you know, was still doing okay. But yeah, I started doing some stipulations from chat to sort of spice things up, and ending with what I thought was really a fun thing to do, which was I had to draft the most iconic card from each pack. That was really, really fun, especially to have chat interaction. Like, I've never seen chat in Twitch so active before, just everyone being like, this is the most iconic card, or this is, and getting people's opinions. And it was just like a really fun thing and a cool way to look at a set called Iconic Masters.
Yeah, that sounds super sweet. I'm not in for stipulation drafts most of the time. Like, I had to stop watching when you were taking your, like, attacking with not... You had a stipulation where you couldn't attack with anything that wasn't a non-token creature. So,
right.
Like, you just had a Sarah Angel on the battlefield sitting there not attacking, and I just had to leave. I couldn't do it. But
yeah.
This most iconic card one sounds sweet. I would have enjoyed watching that, I think.
I want to put a little addendum to that. I couldn't attack with non-token creatures, and if my opponent asked me what was going on, I had to say I was playing around Wing Shards, regardless of what colors they were in. And that one game, my opponent eventually, at the end, they were like, if you had just attacked with Sarah Angel, like, any turn, you would have won. And I had to write back, I was playing around Wing Shards.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was that, right? I saw that, and then I was done.
I was done. You're like, what is this? This guy's off the podcast.
Yep, I went to go edit the podcast.
I also have been trophying a bit in Ixalan. I'm up to 52 trophies in 184 drafts, 368-201 win-loss record, 65% win rate. And I've also been dipping back into Hour of Devastation this week. I did 8 drafts, and I've, you know, quote-unquote trophied in 4 of them, and I have a 19-5 win-loss record for 79% win rate.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I've been really enjoying doing a little double queue action of firing up an Hour of Devastation draft and filling it in with some Ixalan. It's been fun to go revisit that format. And for people who are interested, currently the queues for that are pretty soft.
That's what I've been hearing from Dr. Katz and others. Sparrow's Rum has been doing those a lot too.
Seem to be like a few people that grind them or play them a lot and really know what they're doing. But a lot of people, I think, are just like... I was sort of speculating with Stunlock yesterday, like, why are they soft? It doesn't make sense, but it's like, seems like a lot of people are off Ixalan, or like, if people don't like league-style drafting, they might jump in there, regardless of how often they played that format or how knowledgeable they are of it. So, if you liked Hour of Devastation, I would recommend jumping in there if you're not averse to the wait time. Before we jump into today's topic, we wanted to shout out a couple of our new patrons. You too could become a patron of this show. We have a Patreon page, patreon.com/lordsoflimited, available for you to give back financially to the show if you so choose. Get some sweet perks, get access to our Discord channel, get access to our show notes, a little pre-show recording, depending on the tier of donation that you choose to access. And one of those perks, no matter what tier you choose, is to get a shout out on the show. So Mateus, Phil, and Matthew, thank you so much for your patronage this week. We really, really appreciate it. So, so very thankful for everyone who chooses to donate to the show.
Yes, cannot say thank you enough. And another thing, a big shout out to the patrons. We are recording the show a little differently today. We're using something called Zencastr, which is a paid audio service that like does some post-processing for you. And the patrons have really enabled us to help pay for that. So thank you. Thank you for that. And just as a side note, if you notice anything different about the audio quality, if you think it's better or worse, I would really appreciate you sending me an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com to let me know what you think, because this is not necessarily something we're going to do every week. And if it works, great. If you guys don't think the audio quality is good, we certainly can go back to the way we were doing it before. We want to get the best product out to you all possible.
Yeah, absolutely. So today, as a sort of complete 180 from our last week episode of sort of a mental state focused episode, we wanted to just go nuts and bolts, draft on draft on draft, and take a look at a bunch of draft deep dives and do a full roundtable episode. What do you think?
It's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So you want to take us through this this first one that was submitted by someone in my Twitch chat?
Yeah, this is Curzone, and pack one, pick one. You sit down and see the following cards. Siren's Lookout, two and a blue for the 1/2 flying pirate with Explore. River Herald's Boon, one and a green for the instant speed. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control and target merfolk you control. Pounce, one and a green for the instant speed. Target creature you control fights target creature you don't control. Seeker Squire, one and a black for the 1/2 human scout with Explore. And Kumena's Speaker, single green for the 1/1 merfolk that if you control an island or another merfolk, it gets +1/+1.
So I think a lot about at least how I'm going to look at drafts today are going to be like if I'm drafting the beard style versus drafting a dirtle deck, because I think those are sort of two branches you can go down in as you're looking at packs. Here, I don't see a diversion there, really. I see like a couple good merfolk cards in Kumena's Speaker and River Herald's Boon that I feel like you could hedge on if you liked that kind of deck or, I don't know, didn't really feel like taking anything else in the pack. So I think between Boon and Speaker, I think I'd be on River Herald's Boon. What do you think?
That's interesting. I would take Speaker there between
you
those two cards.
Take Speaker. Yeah, I'm not sure what's right there. But yeah, I think I'd be on Boon. And then I guess between the rest of the pack, I'm still not pretty high on Pounce. I don't think I would ever want to first pick it. And then we've got two Explore creatures, and I think I'd be on Seeker Squire over Siren Lookout.
I would not. Siren Lookout has continued to impress me and kill me on the other side of the battlefield. I think, like, you nailed it. Maybe it was when I was Skyping in with you, but flying is so important in this format.
Yeah.
So I think I would be on Siren Lookout over Seeker Squire.
See, I think Siren Lookout, when Siren Lookout doesn't become a 2/3, I'm pretty bummed. Like,
yes,
and
I agree.
When my opponent plays it and they reveal a land, I breathe a sigh of relief because it feels like they don't really have a relevant creature on the board. Whereas when Seeker Squire hits a land, it's not a big deal.
Because it's coming down on turn 2, you think?
Because it's a 2-drop, yeah. So I think I'm on Seeker Squire there more than Siren Lookout. But our boy Curzone, what did he take?
He took Siren Lookout. He was in agreement with me.
Well. Look at you. Okay.
I think I would actually be on Kumena's Speaker, though, for myself. I think Siren Lookout and Seeker Squire are ultimately probably replaceable. I think Kumena's Speaker is the most powerful archetypal card there, and I think that's what I would be interested in.
And just like you're okay passing up on, because everything else is like pretty low power level or medium power level, like even Seeker Squire is my pick, I'm like it is replaceable. I mean, it is just a 2-drop that like does a thing when it comes into play. So you're like, I'm gonna take Kumena Speaker, and if Merfolk doesn't happen, I'm not gonna get pigeonholed by it, but if Merfolk happens, I'm gonna get rewarded for taking it.
Right. And I'm also fine with a 1-mana 2/2, like if I end up in green blue or whatever, like it doesn't have to be an exactly merfolk.
Right.
So yeah, I think I would be on that there. But Curzone took Siren Lookout. So we've got several paths already happening here. That was an interesting first pick.
Yeah.
Pick 2, moving on, you see the following cards. Atsakan Archer, 2 and a green for the 1/4 human archer, I assume, with a reach. And when it enters the battlefield, you may have it fight target creature you... No, target creature. Can
it's
be your own creatures.
Creature, yeah.
Then you see Inspiring Cleric, 2 and a white for the 3/2. And when it enters the battlefield, you gain 4 life. Pious Interdiction, 3 and a white for the enchantment. Pacifism effect, target creature can't attack or block, and you gain 2 life when it enters the battlefield. Prosperous Pirates, 4 and a blue for the 3/4 pirate. When it enters the battlefield, you get 2 treasure tokens. And Vanquish the Weak, 2 and a black for the instant speed. Destroy target creature, power 3 or less.
This is a really interesting pack based on the fact that we all took 3 different cards in pack 1.
Yes.
So if I took Seeker Squire first, I think this is a pretty easy Vanquish the Weak for me to follow up with. It's like probably the best card in the pack, if not the best. Like it's like either the best card or the second best, depending on how you rate Pious Interdiction, I think. But I'd be happy to go Seeker Squire into Vanquish the Weak. Curzone taking Siren Lookout, where would you follow up Siren Lookout?
See, that's interesting. Like, regardless, I think, of the first pick for me, I think I'm on the same card here. If I had taken Seeker Squire or Kamina Speaker or Siren Lookout, I think I would be on Pious Interdiction here.
Yeah.
I think Vanquish the Weak has gone down for me over the course of the format. Like, it essentially doesn't have instant speed, right? Because you're always so worried about your opponent, like, having pump in response or whatever. Like, there's just a chance to get blown out. So you just usually fire it off on your own turn.
Except if you're ahead and you can afford to, you can be the one having the blowout. And you can be like, all right, they wanted to attack last turn with what looked like an unfavorable attack. So next turn, I leave up Vanquish the Weak, and they make that same attack, and then go to pump or whatever, and you get to blow them out.
Yes. Yeah, I guess if you're ahead, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, that you are more often than not firing this off when they're tapped out, just so you don't get blown out by some sort of combat trick, but I think, and that still is a one for one, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. So that's interesting to me. Yeah, I think Siren Lookout, I would take Pious Interdiction. Commander Speaker 2, and you just, that feels like you are kind of abandoning it. You're just like, all right, I'm off it.
I'm very willing to abandon my first 3-4 picks.
Yeah, I think I'm still on, I'm happy to have Seeker Squire and Vanquish the Weak as 1-2 there, even though I do think Vanquish is slightly worse than Pious Interdiction.
Yeah, so I think we should, like, for the sake of not making this insanely complex, I think we should navigate the rest of the draft with Seeker Squire and Vanquish, since you're the one going through here.
Okay, great. Seeker Squire, Vanquish. Sounds good.
Speaking of, Curzone took Vanquish the Weak there.
Yes, that's important.
Yes, in agreement with you. So Curzone now has Vanquish the Weak and Siren Lookout in their pile. Moving on to pick 3. See the following cards. Windstrider, 4 and a blue for the 3/3 Flash Flying Merfolk. Skyblade of the Legion, 1 and a white for the 1/3 Vampire with Flying. Colossal Dreadmaw, 4 green-green for the 6/6 Dinosaur with Trample. And a Raging Swordtooth, 3 red-green for the 5/5 Dinosaur. When it enters the battlefield, it deals 1 damage to each other creature, and it's got Trample.
I hate this pack.
Yeah, not good.
I mean, yeah, we had like 2 really interesting packs, and now I have a pack with cards that I'm not happy to take. So there is not a black card worth mentioning, so I have to take a non-black card here. And I don't know what I want. I'm looking at Windstrider and Skyblade of the Legion, I think, as just like flying threats, and blue-black and black-white are good color pairs. So I think I'd probably be on, like, I don't know, maybe taking Skyblade and hoping Vamps is open to go with my 2 black cards. This pack feels pretty poopy to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think if I had the 2 black cards, I would be on Skyblade of the Legion and hoping that Vamps was open, but I would just kind of write this pack off. I'm not particularly interested in abandoning my first 2 picks for a Raging Swordtooth.
Yeah.
That card seems like a card I want to pick up when I'm already in red-green dinosaurs, as opposed to a reason to move into red-green dinosaurs for me.
I mean, I think there's an argument for this pack is so weak, like, just take the best card in the pack, which is Raging Swordtooth, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
And if that's a signal that dinosaurs is open, then great, you move in. And if it's not, then whatever, you missed out on a Skyblade. So it's pretty close there, but yeah, it feels bad to take a Swordtooth here if you have Vanquish and Seeker Squire.
Yeah. So Curzone also settled on Raging Swordtooth. So they have Siren Lookout, Vanquish the Weak, and Raging Swordtooth in their pile. And you've got the 2 black cards and Skyblade. Mm-hmm. Moving on to pick 4, we see the following cards. Tashana's Wayfinder, which is 2 and a green for the 2/2 Merfolk Scout that explores when it enters the battlefield. River Herald's Boon. Steadfast Armasaur. 3 and a white for the 2/3 dinosaur that has 1 white tap and butt fight, essentially. So it deals deals damage equal to its toughness to target attacking or blocking creature.
Target creature that's attacking or blocking it, right? That's blocked.
Oh, yes, that would be so busted if it was any attacking or blocking creature.
Someone in chat the other day thought that that's what that card did. They're like, why didn't you deal damage to this other thing? I was like, oh, no. This card is not like a mythic rare. It's just an uncommon. Yeah, again, tough. Steadfast Armasaur is not a card that I value very highly. And even if I had taken Skyblade just then, I think I'd probably be on a card that is not listed here, which is Direfleet Hoarder, the 1 and a black 2/1 that makes a pirate makes a treasure when it dies, just to like stick with black. But maybe that's stubborn and I should just be like, look, I just like just passed up a Raging Swordtooth. There's like a couple green cards worth taking in this pack. Maybe I just grab Tashana's Wayfinder and try and move into what might be open versus what I took my first few picks.
Yeah, this has been a very interesting draft.
Really tough to navigate.
Yes, there's been a lot of options, and I don't know that I recall a roundtable where you and I have like disagreed this much on like how we would have navigated through the draft. That's so interesting. So Curzone took Tishana's Wayfinder.
Yeah.
And so now they've got Siren Lookout, Vanquish the Weak, Raging Swordtooth, and Tishana's Wayfinder in their pile. Mm-hmm. Moving on to pick five, they see Paladin of the Bloodstained, 3 and a white for the 3/2. When it enters the, it's a vampire, and when it enters the battlefield, you make a 1/1 vampire token with lifelink. And Lurking Chupacabra, 3 and a black for the 2/3. Your boy.
My boy.
When a creature enters the battlefield that explores, you get to give target creature -2/-2 until end of turn.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly depending on how I navigated this draft with Seeker Squire first, I would be fist pumping, grabbing Chupacabra and feeling like I had a direction, being black X explorer. And I think Curzone, having taken Tishana's Wayfinder, I would imagine also takes the Chupacabra here.
Yeah, they did. And so Curzone has like a lot of options to go down. Mm-hmm. We've got Siren Lookout, Vanquish the Weak, Raging Swordtooth, Tishana's Wayfinder, and Chupacabra. So a couple black cards and a green card. So they could be set up to just be straight like black-green explorer with the Vanquish, the Wayfinder, and the Chupacabra. Mm-hmm. Maybe they splash the Raging Swordtooth, probably abandoning the Siren Lookout because they haven't seen any blue really to speak of since their first pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they end up getting a bunch of Chupacabras, not a bunch of Explorer in the pack, but some good green spells with a Thundering Spineback and a Savage Stomp, and also opening a spicy little Whatley in pack two.
Ooh.
That I don't know if they ended up splashing or not in their final build, but certainly a powerful little Explorer deck came through for them with some good fixing and good payoffs. But yeah, really tough draft to navigate at the start. Don't know what is correct there, which is pretty crazy considering how deep into the format we are.
Yeah.
So the next draft that I want to do is one that I was watching on another stream this week. Jamie Topples had a really interesting draft that I wanted to take everyone through a few picks for. So Ben, take a seat at the round table. And the cards that you're looking at in consideration are Shining Aerosaur, 4 and a white for the 3/4 Flying Dinosaur. Fathom Fleet Firebrand, 1 and a red for the 2/2 Pirate with Smoke Breathing, 1 and a red, +1/+0 until end of turn.
Patent pending.
Patent pending, thank you. Deeproot Warrior, 1 and a green for the 2/2 Merfolk that when it becomes blocked gets +1/+1 until end of turn. Snapping Sailback, 4 and a green for the 4/4 Dinosaur with Flash and Enrage. If it's dealt damage, it gets a +1/+1 counter put on it. And Search for Azcanta, oh boy, from memory, 1 and a blue for the enchantment that says at the beginning of your upkeep, you look at the top card of your library, you may put that card into your graveyard, then if you have 7 or more cards in your graveyard, you may flip Search for Azcanta, and it flips into Azcanta the Sunken Ruin, which is a land that taps for blue, or you can pay 2 and a blue and tap it to look at the top 4 cards of your library, you may reveal a non-creature spell from it and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order.
You are a monster. And does it tap for a blue or does it tap for a colorless?
Taps for a blue. They all tap for the color.
Wow.
That they are.
I am impressed.
So what do you think about this pack?
This is interesting. I think I would, for me personally, I would immediately narrow it down to Search for Azcanta versus Fathom Fleet Firebrand. I think Fathom Fleet Firebrand is enough better than Deeproot Warrior as a 2-drop. And it's more versatile than Deeproot Warrior essentially being a blue-green card. Not quite, but like definitely wants to go into blue-green.
So that's interesting. I think I've seen you put Deeproot Warrior in a lot of your green-black decks recently.
I have, yeah. It's been in there.
Which I don't really like because it doesn't block well. But I think your black-green decks have been less dirtily more mid-range than mine have. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
So that's interesting to hear you say Deeproot Warrior is not as flexible when I think you found it to be more flexible than I have.
Well, I mean, I'm not thrilled about it. Like, I'm not, I just need 2-drops. I mean,
right.
So like, I'm not thinking, yes, I've got Deeproot Warrior in my black green deck. I'm just thinking, man, I need to have some 2-drops to trade off early in the game. And if it can trade, great. If it can't trade, I'll attack them back for 2. But I just want to make sure I have a play on turn 2 in the format. And I think that ended up partially because I don't value Ixali's Diviner quite as highly as you do, and I'm coming around.
Yeah, you'll get there.
So I think that's partially why that's happening, that I end up with Deeproot Warriors in my black green decks. So I would immediately narrow it down to Fathom Fleet Firebrand between those two. I'm off the 5-drops as a first pick.
Yeah,
and then Search for Azcanta is like worth ticks, like a couple bucks.
Right. So that's what I wanted to throw that out there. So Search for Azcanta is like $4 online, which is you know, if you're trying to draft for value or to be able to draft as much as possible, it's important to be aware of cards that are like worth about a pack of value, because those are generally things that are going to make it possible for you to grind as many drafts as you want. So with that in mind, are you happy to play Search for Azcanta in a limited deck?
Absolutely. I'm thrilled.
Cool. And does it, like, do you feel like it's pigeonholes you in the way that Deeproot Warrior kind of pigeonholes you, or do you feel like it goes in a variety of decks?
I would play Search for Azcanta in any blue deck.
Really? Interesting.
Yes. I think I value the Think Tank option. There's an old card called Think Tank that lets you do this. I think that's just a very powerful effect in limited. I would play this in any blue deck.
Even with the format being pretty fast.
I think the card selection it provides you over the course of a game, like if you play this now, if you're not playing this on turn two, it's a lot less good. Like, I mean, I would want like a certain number of non-creature spells in my deck, but I mean, I think it's a powerful card. I think you could play this in an aggro deck.
I think of it more of as a build around than I'm going to play it in any blue deck. Like, I'm happy to first pick it, I think, one, because it's worth money, but two, because it's got like a lot. I feel like you need a lot. You need to be able to create a deck where playing that on turn two doesn't leave you dead to like red, white aggro. And also, when it flips, if it flips, like having good things to grab with it.
So, yeah, I think on Magic Online, I'm on Search for Azcanta for sure, because I like the card and it's worth money. If I was at day one of a GP, or day two of a GP, rather, I think I would be on Fathom Fleet Firebrand. I don't think I would quite have the guts to take Search for Azcanta day two of a GP.
Now, let me throw this out to you. If you're drafting at a GP, you reveal Search for Azcanta to the whole table. So you get to be like, I'm drafting blue, get out of my lane, which I think there's value in that.
Yeah, maybe I would. Yeah, that's true.
Know. Regardless, so it sounds like you're on Search for Azcanta as well.
Yes, I think so.
So Jamie also took Search, I think primarily because she was like, well, it's money, and I don't think I'm missing out on a ton if I don't end up playing it or end up like being red and passing Fathom Fleet. Like, it's not a big deal, which I think I'm in total agreement with. Her next pack, you're taking a look at Slash of Talons, one white for the instant, deal 2 damage to target attacking or blocking creature. Skullduggery, a single black for the instant, target creature you control gets +1/+1 until end of turn, and target creature you don't control gets -1/-1 until end of turn. Siren Lookout, Pounce, Atsakan Archer, and Deadeye Plunderers. That's 3 blue-black for the 3/3 human pirate that gets +1/+1 for each artifact you control, and you can pay 2 blue-black to make a treasure token.
Some interesting options here. So the card that stands out to me the most after having picked Search for Azcanta is Siren Lookout, just as like a good flying follow-up. I think the best card out of those might be Skullduggery. But I think I'm on Siren Lookout over Skullduggery as pairing up with Search for Azcanta. Because ideally, I'm going to want to build a more controlling deck around Search for Azcanta, and Skullduggery shines in an aggressive deck that's putting pressure on your opponent. Mm-hmm. So I think I'd be on Siren Lookout here.
Yeah. So in this draft, so I feel like Jamie took Search and was like, well, I'm just taking it for money and then we'll see what happens, which I think is great. And then she looked at this pack and sort of was like, I see this blue card in my pile, and I also see Siren Lookout, which is a good card, but I just sort of pose the question, isn't Skullduggery just the best card in the pack? Like, if this were pack one, pick one, you would take Skullduggery, I think, right?
Yes, I agree.
I would take Skullduggery, yeah.
Yes, I agree.
But it sounds like you're thinking, well, Siren Lookout plus Search is better than just Skullduggery, yeah?
Yes, and I don't think Skullduggery is going to be at its best in a deck with Search for Azcanta, if we're trying to go the controlling build around Search for Azcanta route.
Right, blue-black does generally not feel like a control deck to me in this format. Yeah, so I guess that makes sense hearing that out loud. I was thinking it was more like, I still think of Search for Azcanta as more of a pigeonhole-y card than that, but maybe it's not, and it's fine to just go, yeah, I'll just take Siren Lookout. But I think I might have just hedged on Skullduggery here. Jamie took Siren Lookout. She's now got the same as you. Search for Azcanta 1, Siren Lookout 2. She's looking at pack 3 with Water Trap Weaver, 2 and a blue for the 2/2 merfolk. When it comes into play, you tap target creature you don't control. It doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. Thrash of Raptors, 3 and a red for the 3/3 dinosaur that gets +2/+0 and trample if you control another dinosaur. Siren's Ruse, 1 and a blue for the instant. Exile target creature you control, then return it to the battlefield. If that creature was a pirate, you draw a card. And Cult of the Feast, dinner's ready, 2 white black for the sorcery. Put 3 1/1 vampire tokens with lifelink into play.
This pick looks super easy to me. Already having 2 blue cards in my pile, I would just snap up Water Trap Weaver and be thrilled here. I think Call to the Feast you could maybe say is a signal for vampires at this point, but it's a little early to be determining that. It's only pick three.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just happily snap up Water Trap Weaver. It's a great card. It's going to be good in any blue deck and move on. It leaves me a lot of flexibility down the road for the rest of the draft.
Does leave you a lot of flexibility. So I'm diverging from you. You are straight on the Jamie line. She also took Water Trap Weaver. She had a little bit of why me mentality here. And she was like, no, why didn't I take Skullduggery? And now I'm seeing Call to the Feast. And I was like, well, if you think Call to the Feast is a vampire signal, why don't you take it? And that like didn't get to her in time because of the Twitch chat delay until she got to the next pack. But I could see she was, I didn't know if it was like, you know, part of her Twitch performance persona, like trying, not that she's like putting anything on, but you know, you try and like amp up the drama. So maybe she was like, no, why not this? When really she didn't care that much. But she did grab the Water Trap Weaver. And I think I would be pretty tempted by Call to the Feast here. So I think I would be on search Skullduggery, Call to the Feast, which is a totally fine route. But yeah, you guys are in a pretty flexible land here with three blue cards in your pile. And now moving on to pick four, got Windstrider, Raptor Companion. That's one and a white for the 3/1. Direfleet Interloper, three and a black for the 2/2 Pirate with Menace and Explore. Anointed Deacon, four and a black for the 3/3 Vampire. And in your begin combat step, you get to give target vampire you control +2/+0 until end of turn. And Favorable Winds, one and a blue for the enchantment. Creatures with flying you control get +1/+1.
I would be eyeing that Favorable Winds here. I don't think I'm quite willing to pick it fourth. So I think I would be on Windstrider here, the 3/3 Flash Flyer, mm-hmm. and hoping to wheel Favorable Winds and like maybe making future picks like within the fact in mind that I might be wheeling a Favorable Winds and maybe looking to do a sweet like maybe blue-black Favorable Winds deck. Those have been like very good when they come together.
Yeah. Again, I mean, you're 100% in line with Jamie. So the only reason I thought this draft was interesting was because I just like totally diverged. I would have taken Anointed Deacon here after obviously taking Call to the Feast and be thrilled about like looking at vampire signals. I'm surprised to hear you say that Anointed Deacon doesn't even like show up here for you as a signal for vampires. Like it's looking like having just passed Call to the Feast, wouldn't you be like, wait, maybe vampires is what I'm supposed to be doing?
Yeah, I would be thinking that, except like I've got fine blue cards. I've really started liking Windstrider lately. Like, I think flying's great in the format, mm-hmm. Like after coming back to it from Iconic Masters. And I think having passed the Call to the Feast, I'm not like, had I taken Call to the Feast, I would be on Anointed Deacon here for sure. But having passed it, like, it's not like there's not been playable cards in the deck that I'm trying to draft.
No, for sure.
And I'm a little like, if I'm honest, I'm a little vampired out. I'm not Ixalan'd out at all, but like it feels like drafting vampires feels like a little bit like drafting mono red in cube, where like once you decide you're in, like the draft is super uninteresting. Not that I'm like trying to steer away from it here, but I'm just fine with where I'm at.
Yeah, that makes total sense. You will be happy to know that she did end up in a really sweet blue black Favorable Winds deck.
Ooh,
she
like
had
it.
I think three Favorable Winds, like a bunch of Blight Keepers. She had like two Stormfleet Aerialists. It was really sweet. I think she ended up only 2/1ing with the deck, but I think she posted it on Twitter and said this was a 3/0 in my heart. And I totally agree. It was a very sweet deck that she ended up getting.
Awesome. All right. Are you ready to take a seat at the round table, my friend? We got another one here.
I'm sitting down, baby.
All right. This is one of my drafts from recently on stream this week.
Mm-hmm.
First pick was tough. I had no idea what was right. Two cards you're choosing between. The rest of the pack was complete and total poo. You see Adanto Vanguard, one and a white for the 1/1 vampire that when it attacks, it gets +2/+0, and you can pay 4 life to give it indestructible. And Ripjaw Raptor, which is 2 green for the 4/5 dinosaur with the enrage trigger of draw a card.
Well, I think based on you saying I'm a little vampired out, I can guess which card you took.
Yeah, I took Ripjaw Raptor, but I sat there. I let the clock run down. I had no clue.
So I think, yeah, I mean, the rest of the pack is pretty poopy. I'm looking at it right now. It's hard to even come up with another card worth mentioning. Yeah, I think for me, it's Ripjaw Raptor also for reasons of I think I want to dirtle more than I want to draft an aggro deck with Adanto Vanguard in it. Not that Vanguard pigeonholes you into vampires by any stretch. Like, you're playing Vanguard in any white deck you have. But Ripjaw Raptor is just really sweet, and it's a particularly sweet card to have with the idea of, oh, I want to draft a green, black, green, blue-based control deck. It's a really strong card to start off with if that's what you want your deck to end up in. So I would take Ripjaw Raptor here.
Yeah, so my reasoning was I do think Ripjaw Raptor is an intrinsically more powerful card than Odonto Vanguard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like Odonto Vanguard does just get blanked like by people that want to blank it, by a Sailor of Means or by like Headwater Sentries, the 2/5 Merfolk. There are a lot of cards that it's just real bad against. And I've been playing against more of those decks since we did the Dirtle episode. Like, I swear.
Do you really think that we are changing the meta?
I don't know, but I hope so, because I keep wanting to ask in chat and I never do. Like, I'll play against somebody that's like black green, has a Cobbled Wings in their deck, has a couple of like the 3/3 Explore Lifelinkers and a Chupacabra. And I'm just like, you listen to our podcast.
Love it.
So yeah, I ended up settling on Ripjaw Raptor there. Moving on to pick two, you see the following cards. Thrash of Raptors, 3 and a red for the 3/3 dinosaur that when you control another dinosaur gets +2/+0, and it's got trample already, I think.
No, it doesn't already have trample.
It gets trample when you have another dinosaur. Okay. No, you're Ixalan, Ben, get it together. Skullduggery, single black for the instant combat trick. Target creature gets +1/+1 that you control. Target creature and opponent controls gets -1/-1. Raptor Companion, 1 and a white for the 3/1 dinosaur. Ixali's Diviner, 1 and a green for the 0/3 that explores when it enters the battlefield. And Lookout's Dispersal, 2 and a blue for the instant speed counter target spell unless its controller pays 4. And if you control a pirate, it costs 1 less to cast.
This is a pretty easy Ixali's Diviner for me.
That's interesting, yeah.
With Ripjaw Raptor as number one, with my idea that I want to draft a kind of control deck with green. None of these other cards sort of fit that mold, except for I'm happy to have Skullduggery if I'm green black control as well. Like, it doesn't shine in a less aggressive deck, but it's still very serviceable as a combat trick or removal spell. But yeah, I think Ixali's Diviner is very important for these kinds of decks, and I'm happy to grab it here over not much else, in my opinion.
Yeah, I ended up, this was a hard pick for me, I think, because I value Ixali's Diviner less than you. So I was like, all of these cards were kind of on par for me. Raptor Companion a little less so. I ended up settling on Lookout's Dispersal, mostly because I have the mentality that I think I'm supposed to wheel Ixali's Diviners, and I just don't think that's the case anymore.
It's
and
not.
I think I need to start picking them higher.
Yeah. I think I'm just like a week ahead of that mentality of like, I like really like the card, but you can get it late, and now I just don't think you can anymore.
Yep, I think you're right. So that makes sense to me. So you've got Ripjaw Raptor and Ixali's Diviner in your pile. Moving on to pick three, you see the following cards. Shaper Apprentice, 1 and a blue for the 2/1 Merfolk that gets flying if you've got another Merfolk. Deeproot Warrior, Grim Captain's Call, 2 and a green for the sorcery. Return each of one of the four creature types to your hand of Dinosaur, Vampire, Pirate, and Merfolk. And then the rest of the pack is also just stone unplayable. Like, those are the only three playable cards.
I think it's worth noting that Drowned Catacomb is in the pack.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because if we're talking, you know, based on our Dirtle episode, if you're talking about drafting a Sultai based control deck, I think that's a really viable pick here, because it leaves you open to being green blue splash black or green black splash blue a little easier. I really, as we've talked about before, I do not like Deeproot Warrior in these kinds of decks. It might be worth taking just to cut green. I think there is also a thought that you could take, there's a Mark of the Vampire in this pack. You could like take Mark of the Vampire and hope that Grim Captain's Call wheels, because Grim Captain's Call is a card you can get very late. Like, almost no one ever wants it. And it's really strong in these kinds of Dirtle decks, because you often can get back 3-4 creatures with it. So that might be a thought process for me there, but I'm probably overthinking it, and it's probably just taking Deeproot Warrior to stay in green and not move into something else and not send any green signals. But I might be tempted by Drowned Catacomb or Mark of the Vampire.
Yeah, that's interesting. I did settle on Deeproot Warrior, and I was actually thinking, seeing both Deeproot Warrior and Shaper Apprentice, that maybe I was going to be keeping an eye out for Merfolk. So I took Deeproot Warrior because it matched up with my Ripjaw Raptor and was thinking I might be able to get into Merfolk.
So funny. I have like just my blinders up. I'm not even seeing like the actual tribal decks anymore.
All right, moving on to pick four. You see the following cards. Prosperous Pirates, 4 and a blue for the 3/4 pirate that makes you 2 treasure. Legion Conquistador, 2 and a white for the 2/2 vampire that when it enters the battlefield, you can go search yourself up any number of copies of Legion Conquistador. Another Deeproot Warrior, Stormfleet Spy, 2 and a blue for the 2/2 pirate that when it enters the battlefield, if you attacked with a creature this turn, you get to draw a card.
Do you know what I'm going to take out of this pack?
You're going to take Prosperous Pirates because you're a degenerate.
Yep, that's true. I'm going to take Prosperous Pirates because I want to be, you know, Dirtle control, splash a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, you have an addiction.
I know.
I settled on Deep Root Warrior because I was trying to keep an eye out for Merfolk, and it matched up with Ripjaw Raptor and left me like fairly flexible, having three green cards and a Lookout Dispersal in my pile that I could take or leave.
Yeah, you have a better start to a draft than I would. Like, I think your picks are maybe more correct. I think I slightly disagree with the Lookout's Dispersal, but everything else makes total sense to me. And I think you're leaving yourself more open than I would.
Yeah. Moving on to pick five, we see the following cards. Windstrider, Vampire Zeal, single white for the combat trick, give target creature +2/+2, and if it was a vampire, it gets first strike. Pirate's Cutlass, super late, fifth pick.
Jeez.
That's three mana for the equipment. Equipped creature gets +2/+1. It's got an equip cost of 2, and when it enters the battlefield, you automatically attach it to a pirate you control. And Bishop Soldier, one and a white for the 2/2 lifelink vampire, super late Bishop Soldier also. And an Atsakan Archer, 2 and a green for the 1/4 reach. When it enters the battlefield, you can have it fight target creature.
So I think, regardless of what I would want to do, my general rule is when this happens, meaning I see a Pirate's Cutlass 5th, that means that people at my table are not drafting Beard appropriately, and that means that I cannot draft the Dirtle deck. That's sort of my rule. So I would probably just like abandon ship here. I'm not really abandoning any ship, like, especially if I've followed what you've done. Like, I'm just going to grab Pirate's Cutlass here and be happy with it with my two Deep Root Warriors and be looking to be probably Merfolk, but, you know, maybe some other aggressive green X deck is open as well. But I think I'd just be on Cutlass here.
That's interesting. Yeah, I was torn. Like, Cutlass is not good with the cards I've got so far.
It's not bad.
It's not bad, but it's not good. It's decidedly medium within a Merfolk deck. Like, I think in a good Merfolk deck, you're just not running Pirate's Cutlass, if that's where you end up. And I was torn, and I ended up picking Atsakan Archer to match up with my Deep Root Warriors and Ripjaw Raptor to maybe leave more of a controlling Dirtle route open.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I love Atsakan Archer. You do not have to twist my arm to take it at any point in a draft. How did this pack or this draft end up for you?
Yeah, I ended up moving into black-green midrange. The rest of it wasn't super interesting. I got a couple Chupacabras back-to-back and then like wheeled some green and black cards and ended up settling into green-black. Merfolk ended up not being open. And we ended up trophying. It was a good, solid, like, I think it got a little lucky to trophy, but it was a good, tight little midrange green-black deck.
Well done, sir. Very, very nice. All right, so here I've got a draft for you that we need a little primer for, I think. So I think we just come off trophying on stream, and Ryan Sachs typed in chat, like, what's something you like haven't done in this format yet? And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I don't know. Oh, you know what I haven't done in this format is the hijack makeshift munitions deck.
Ooh.
Like, I've not gotten to draft a sacrifice deck yet. And he was like, cool, like, let's try and do that. Or, like, let's try and do something you haven't done. You know, many drafts deep, like, we're maybe not, like, memeing, but, like, having fun. And I feel very comfortable, like, doing flexible things like that on stream and in draft. So with that in mind of, like, what's something you haven't done, we entered this draft. So you look at a pack with Territorial Hammerskull, 2 and a white for the 2/3 dino. When it attacks, you tap target creature you don't control. Paladin of the Bloodstained, 3 and a white for the 3/2 vampire that makes a 1/1 lifelinking vampire token when it comes into play. Grazing Whiptail, 2 green-green for the 3/4 dino with reach. Tempest Caller, 2 blue-blue for the 2/3 merfolk when it comes into play, tap all creatures you don't control. Seeker's Squire, the black explorer 2-drop. And Search for Azcanta, our money enchantment blue flip land.
Yeah, so I think immediately I would narrow it down to Hammerskull, Seeker's Squire, and Search for Azcanta, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would quickly narrow it down after that to Hammerskull and Search for Azcanta.
Mm-hmm.
Azcanta's money. Hammerskull's great. I think if you're day two of a GP, you're probably picking Hammerskull. I think it's enough better than Search for Azcanta that you're jamming that there.
Yeah.
And I think, like, coming back to Ixalan has been nice for me because I just really want to win. Like, I was right going into Iconic Masters, I was only on the all Dirtle all the time plan. And now I'm just kind of back to drafting normally, like with drafting Dirtle as a tool in my arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'd be on Hammerskull here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think there is money considerations here. And I think I'm never going to pass a card that is worth a pack. But I definitely hear what you're saying about Hammerskull. But with the idea of something I've never done before, I was like, you know what I haven't done is the Sanguine Sacrament loop.
Yeah.
And I remember the only time that worked was watching you against another streamer, and they had Search for Azcanta, Primal Amulet, and the the Sanguine Sacrament to like dig for it and then like cast it twice and get that loop going. So I was like, if Sanguine Sacrament gets opened, I'll see it and I'll have it with Search for Azcanta. So I took Search here for money and also for the idea that I'm maybe going to try and build a blue-white control deck to take advantage of that.
That sounds sweet.
That's not potentially the correct thing to do, but that's where I was at mentally.
Yeah. I don't know how Generation D20 did it. Like, anytime I build a shell where Sanguine Sacrament is good, I never see it. And I always see it when I'm drafting an aggro deck.
Oh, yeah. 100%. So moving on to pick two, you see a pack with Run Aground, 3 and a blue for the instant, put target artifact or creature on top of its owner's library. New Horizons, 2 and a green for the enchant land. Enchanted land has tap, add 2 mana of any color to your mana pool, and when it enters the battlefield, you put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. Depths of Desire, 2 and a blue for the instant, bounce spell, and you make a treasure. Deep Root Warrior, your boy, Snapping Sailback, the Flash Dino, Seeker Squire, the 2-drop Explorer.
Yeah, lots of like mediumly powerful cards here.
Mm-hmm.
I think Run Aground would be, or Depths, depending on your personal preference for those two cards. I think I'm on Run Aground over Depths these days, unless I'm dirtling pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I need the treasure token. I would narrow it down to one of those two to pair up with Search for Azcanta or Seeker Squire, I think, is probably the best creature. Just like the most efficient creature if you've got a Search for Azcanta in your pile. New Horizons also, I guess, gets some consideration if you're trying to do like multicolored dirtling. Mm-hmm. I think I would just settle on Seeker Squire, though, as the most efficient, powerful card out of those.
Yeah, I mean, I think even, especially if you're taking it, because I think I'm higher on Seeker Squire than you are, then yeah, I'm definitely taking it here. And pretty interesting, like, flat power level of the pack. Run Aground and Depths, I think, are great, but you can get them later. I don't think you need to take it here. So yeah, grab Seeker Squire, move on to pick three. You see a pack with not many options, a Territorial Hammer Skull, a Fathom Fleet Firebrand, and a Jade Guardian. That's the 3 and a green, 2/2 hexproof. Put a counter on a merfolk you control when it comes into play.
Oh, yeah. I'm just slamming Hammer Skull here if I've already got a Hammer Skull in my pile, and I think it's still just probably the best card out of those three.
Yeah, I sort of sighed and took it here because I was like, well, I'm pretty bummed that I passed at pack one and have to take one now, but it's just head and shoulders above the rest of the pack that it's worth taking here. And then pick four, you see another Hammer Skull, you see a 1 with the wind, 1 and a blue for the enchantment, put up the enchanted creature gets +2/+2 and has flying. Sky Terror, red white for the 2/2 dino with flying and menace. Lightning Rig Crew, 2 and a red for the 0/5 pirate, taps to deal damage to each opponent, and whenever you cast a pirate spell, you untap it. And Conqueror's Galleon, one of my favorite cards in the format. 4 mana for the 2/10 vehicle with crew 4. When it attacks, you flip it, you exile it at end of combat, and it comes into play untapped, flipped, and it flips into, oh gosh, what is it? Like some land, I don't know what it's called, but it has a number of abilities on it. Taps for a colorless, 2-tap, loot, 4-tap, draw a card, 6-tap, return target card from your graveyard to your hand.
Basically says if the board stalled out at all, you win the game.
Right. What do you think here?
I'm obviously slamming another Hammer Skull.
Yeah,
my deck's going to be insanely good.
Yeah, you have 3 Hammer Skulls and 4 picks.
Yes, and I'm certain you could not resist the lure of Conqueror's Galleon.
I could not, but it's really incorrect. Like, even if I just took the Hammer Skull pick 3, I really should just take Hammer Skull 4 here and move on.
Absolutely.
So I did grab Conqueror's Galleon here, and the rest of the pack, I sort of took cards that let me maybe take advantage of Galleon and Search for Azcanta. So I grabbed a Prosperous Pirates, a Call to the Feast, a Sailor of Means. I grabbed a couple Pirates prizes towards the end of the pack. Those are the divinations that for 4 mana that give you a treasure. So those are nice little bonuses with, you know, things that you can grab with a flipped Search for Azcanta, etc. So I'm looking to have a blue-white control deck. So I wanted to move into pack two with that in mind, because I think there were a couple interesting picks at the start. The first one is not maybe super interesting, but you're looking at a pack with Pious Interdiction, New Horizons, Deep Root Warrior, Wild Growth Walker, the 1 and a green, 1/3, whenever you explore, it gets a +1/+1 counter and you gain 3 life. A Siren Storm Tamer, the single blue pirate, 1/1 flyer, and it has a blue sacrifice it to counter target spell or ability that targets you or a creature you control. And Bright Reprisal, 4 and a white, destroy target attacking creature, draw a card.
Yeah, that's interesting. You probably need some removal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an interesting pick between Pious Interdiction and Bright Reprisal, I think, because Pious Interdiction is just a better card, but Bright Reprisal is a lot sweeter with like Conqueror's Galleon and
right.
Search for Azcanta.
Yeah.
I think I wouldn't be able to resist the value if we're already drafting this style of deck. I think I'd be on Bright Reprisal there.
It's really interesting, and I think it's what I should have taken. I took Bias Interdiction because I was like, oh, it's just like Interdiction is better and we need the life gain, but it ended up that we didn't get a spell to buy back with Galleon. Like we were pretty removal light, and one of the things that you, if you've played with Conqueror's Galleon flipped, which if you're a good drafter, you probably haven't, because the card is like, you know, it's like really clunky and really hard to make work, but when it does, it feels so good. But one of the things you want is like a removal spell that you can rebuy, because like if you can lock someone out with like infinite contract killings or whatever, you're probably going to win the game in a stalled out board. Pious Interdiction doesn't let you do that. Bright Reprisal would let you do that in a way. So I think you have the right idea there. This next pick is the last one I want to look at. And this pick has you looking at Water Trap Weaver, 2 and a blue for the 2/2 merfolk that tap something, a Pirate's Cutlass, a Mark of the Vampire, and Stormfleet Spy, 2 and a blue for the 2/2 pirate with raid, draw card.
Yeah, this pick's interesting. I mean, the best card intrinsically is Pirate's Cutlass, but it's probably not doing a ton for you in your deck if you're on this controlling plan with Conqueror's Galleon. So I think the best defensive card here is probably Water Trap Weaver.
Yeah, for sure. It was a pretty clear Water Trap Weaver for me. And I wanted to bring this up because I think Water Trap Weaver is worse than Cutlass, and in some ways worse than Stormfleet Spy, depending on what your deck is looking like or what your synergies are looking like. But for what we were trying to do, the cards in our pile so far, we needed a defensive card with Weaver. And I had a lot of people in chat vying for Stormfleet Spy or Pirate's Cutlass and sort of confused about why I was taking Water Trap Weaver over them. Like, you know, we have 2 3-mana 2/2 blue spells, and one of them is better than the other, right? The other one of them draws you a card. But I was like, just think about what our deck is doing. Are we ever attacking? No, like not really until we're winning the game. So the like tiny value from Stormfleet Spy drawing us a card is almost never going to happen. Whereas the defensive ability of Water Trap Weaver, sort of like timing out a creature on the other side for a turn, is super valuable for us to like get our dirtle on with our Search for Azcanta and our Conqueror's Galleon.
Yep, and trades, like a 2/2 body trades well right. in the format.
For sure. So the rest of the pack was you know, sort of worked out well. We grabbed an Inspiring Cleric, which sort of solidified me into doing the blue-white control route. Got a Shining Aerosaurus, Lash of Talons, and other Prosperous Pirates, and ended up with a pretty bad blue-white deck, if I'm going to be honest. I got like paired up to a 2-0 person in round one and ended up beating a pretty sweet merfolk deck, but then ended up scrubbing out the rest of the draft.
Ugh, bummer.
Yeah. Well, it's fine. I mean, the deck was a mess, but some interesting picks, I think.
All right. I've got another draft here. This one was interesting. This is actually my draft I did last night at the end of the stream. There were a lot of hard picks in the beginning and a lot of different avenues to go down, I thought. So pack one, pick one, you see the following cards: Vanquish the Weak, Skymarch Bloodletter, 2 and a black for the 2/2 vampire that drains one when it enters the battlefield, River Herald's Boon, Thundering Spineback, the 5 green green for the 5/5 dinosaur that's got 5 and a green to poop out a 3/3 dinosaur with trample, and all dinosaur creatures you control get +1/+1. And Lightning Strike, 1 and a red, instant speed, deal 3 damage to target creature or player.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I want to play with Thundering Spineback, I can't pass the Lightning Strike here.
Yes, I agree. Clear Lightning Strike, yeah. But I gave you a shout out on stream. I didn't know if you would be able to resist Spineback, so we now know the answer to that question. Pick two, you see the following cards after having a Lightning Strike in your pile: Sure Strike, Sailor of Means, 2 and a blue for the 1/4 pirate that when it enters the battlefield, you make a treasure. Ranging Raptors, 2 and a green for the 2/3 dinosaur with the enrage trigger of Rampant Growth. Search your library for basic land and put it onto the battlefield tapped. And Bellowing Igasaur, 5 and a white for the 3/5 dinosaur with the enrage trigger of put a +1/+1 counter on your team.
This is interesting. So you see no good red cards to follow up your Lightning Strike with. So then looking at maybe just what's the best card in the pack. And I think the best card in the pack might be Ranging Raptors. Just intrinsically, but doesn't fit into most decks that I like unless I am in a green-based control deck. I don't really like it in the aggro dinosaur decks. And we just passed a Spineback, which, you know, we don't get too heady about what you're passing. Be more interested in what signals you're receiving than the signals you're sending. But that is, I think, worth noting that someone near to your left will be in green-based dinosaurs, so you may not get the hookup in Pack 2. But Sailor of Means is just, I mean, it's one of the best, as we outlined in Dirtle Town, it's one of the best cards you can have for a Dirtle-based control deck. Lightning Strike is super splashable in these kinds of decks, so Sailor of Means seems like a pretty good follow-up here.
That's what I settled on for exactly the reasons you listed. I thought it was more flexible, and I just don't really want to be red-green dinosaurs.
No.
It's not a particularly interesting deck, but good.
And it's not where Ranging Raptors is best.
No, it's not. So I was between Ranging Raptors and Sailor of Means there, and I settled on Sailor of Means.
Nice.
Moving on to pick three, you see the following cards: Thrash of Raptors, Sure Strike, Mark of the Vampire, Wild Growth Walker, one green for the 1/3, and when a creature enters the battlefield on your side and explores, you get to put a +1/+1 counter on it and gain 3 life. And then you see there's no playable blue in the pack.
No playable blue, yeah. I mean, I really like Wild Growth Walker. I know you really like Wild Growth Walker even more than I do, I think. But it's really good to get early because you can craft your deck around it. Value explorers more, value fixing more, so you can take advantage of more explorers. But I might be tempted by Thrash of Raptors here. Like, that might be the quote-unquote correct pick to go with your Lightning Strike. But I think I'd be on Walker here and be looking to do something sweet.
Yeah, that's what I was, the exact same place as you were. I was torn between Walker and Thrash of Raptors, and I decided Wild Growth Walker sounded like more fun, and I like playing that deck a lot, and I just didn't really want to be in a dinosaurs deck, but Thrash of Raptors could very well be the pick there. And then moving on to pick four, this is where I really started to get a little bit of why me mentality.
Uh-huh.
See the following cards: Thrash of Raptors again, Sure Strike again, Ranging Raptors, another copy, and Rowdy Crew, the 2 red mythic rare that has no business being in this pack, 4th pick. First of all, people still don't understand how good this card is.
But this goes fourth.
Yeah, it's a 3/3 trample pirate. When it enters the battlefield, you draw 3 cards, then discard 2 cards at random, which is just better, strictly better than draw a card. And if you do the 2 cards you discarded at random shared a type, like if it's 2 lands, 2 creatures, whatever, you get to put 2+1/+1 counters on it.
There's no reason this card should still be here. I don't think there's any card I would take, any uncommon or common I would take over Rowdy Crew. So there's no reason for it to be here, and I'm taking it here.
I might take Monstrosaur over it.
Monstrosaur, I guess. Yeah, maybe Monstrosaur. Yeah, that's fair. Okay, 1 card.
But yeah, like, so Rowdy Crew's the pick, but then I'm thinking, man, if I had gone like Ranging Raptors and a Thrash of Raptors and a Rowdy Crew, like, we could be on track for a solid red-green dinos deck. And then pick 5, I got faced with another tough choice. See the following cards: Deep Root Warrior, Tishana's Wayfinder, Otapec Huntmaster, the 1 red for the 1/2, human shaman, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think that dinosaur spells you control cost 1 less to cast, and it can tap to give target dinosaur haste until end of turn. Shipwreck Looter, 1 blue for the 2/1 pirate that lets you loot if you triggered raid, and that's really it.
Yeah, this is hard. So I think it's between Otapec Huntmaster, if I'm thinking about being red-based dinos, but you currently don't have any dinos.
Right.
Right, you've got 2 pirates, a lightning strike, and the elemental Wild Growth Walker. Yeah, I mean,
And Tishana's Wayfinder pairs very nicely with my Wild Growth Walker that I've got in my pile.
Yeah, I think I might just be on Wayfinder there, just because you don't actually have dinosaurs and you have passed like 2 Ranging Raptors and 2 Thrash of Raptors and a Spineback, and I just like might want to just continue to let the person on my left be in dinosaurs and let me get the green explorers from them. So I think I might just be on Wayfinder here, but that could be wrong, and this could be the time when it's like, you have to move, like, you see Huntmaster here, you move in, don't worry about the fact that someone to your left is also in dinosaurs.
Yeah, I took Huntmaster, and I think correctly, well, certainly correctly as the draft ended up.
Mm-hmm.
But so here was my thinking, like, if I had taken Wayfinder, I think I was still going to be base red-green, which isn't like a great Dirtle deck.
Just because of Rowdy Crew?
Well, Rowdy Crew's so hard to cat, it's double red. So like, if we're green blue, like, splashing a double colored card is no small task unless you have a lot of Prosperous Pirates and or New Horizons.
It's no small task, but Rowdy Crew is, you don't have to cast it on turn 4 for it to be good. And I think you actually take advantage of the draw 3, discard 2 at random if you cast it much later in the game.
Later in the game, I agree. Yeah.
So I think I could still look to be, now you haven't seen any blue, so it's a little dubious to be like, well, I could still be green blue splashing Rowdy Crew, or splashing Rowdy Crew and Lightning Strike. But I hear what you're saying, but I think I might just be too much in love with Wild Growth Walker plus Wayfinder and be a little concerned about the number of dinosaurs in red-green that we've already passed, that taking the Unmaster here might just be a dead pick, especially because you have no dinosaurs right now.
Yes, it was certainly a... Yes, I agree. It was a risky pick, but I decided that it was a signal and I was going to take it and see what was open. And I ended up getting rewarded pretty hard. Not to say that that determines whether it was right or wrong, but I think it was a super interesting pick. And I ended up hard in red-green dinos. And it was open and my deck was great.
That's awesome.
So I'm curious to see how the deck plays out. It's currently waiting for me on Magic Online.
Ooh, baby. I love that. I love that. And you'll have to keep us updated on Twitter or Discord. So I had a pretty interesting draft. This was the one that you came in to look at, I think, on stream because we were reviewing it yesterday. And you were like, was alcohol involved in this draft? and there was alcohol involved. But even so, I think it's a really tough draft to navigate. So the first pack is not super interesting. You open up Regisaur Alpha. That's the 3 red-green, 4/4 dino. Dinos you control have haste, and it makes a 3/3 token with trample when it comes into play. Pretty big bomb. I mean, there's a Vanquish the Weak in the pack and not much else to speak of. So you just snap up Regisaur Alpha and move on. The second pack is much, much weaker. You see a pack with Pounce, the fight spell, Deep Root Warrior, a Direfleet Hoarder. I don't really know what else there is to mention in this pack. A Sheltering Light, that's the single white trick. Target creature gains indestructible. Scry one. There's a Pirate's Prize, the Divination, but it's a pretty weak power level pack to look at.
Yeah, I would be on, I think, Deep Root Warrior over Pounce. I am just so down on Pounce. And Deep Root Warrior is like a fine aggressive card, good 2-drop. 2-drops are super important in the format.
Yeah. Yeah. As evidenced by this entire episode, I'm just down on Deep Root Warrior in non-Merfolk decks. And I was generally not happy with Pounce, but with a Regisaur Alpha first, that is what I followed up with. And I think I stand by that looking at this draft viewer a few days later. In pack one, pick three, you see Odonto Vanguard, an Atsakan Archer, an Emissary of Sunrise, that's 2 and a white for the 2/1 with First Strike and Explore, New Horizons, the 2 and a green mana fixer, and a Thrash of Raptors, and a Windstrider.
Whew, this is interesting.
Yeah.
So some great white cards there in Odonto Vanguard and Emissary.
Mm-hmm.
A Dinosaur and Thrash of Raptors to go along with your Regisaur Alpha if you wanted to go down that route. New Horizons and Atsakan Archer, like Atsakan Archer being a defensive card for the Dirtle deck and New Horizons being a fixing card for the Dirtle deck.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would just be on Vanguard here as like the best card in the pack to me.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, Vanguard is definitely the best card in the pack, but Vanguard's not better than like... So here's my thinking. I think I agree that Vanguard is the best card in the pack, but I don't think that Vanguard is better than having Regisaur Alpha plus either one of the 2 green cards we just took plus a green or a red card out of this pack. So that's where I'm at in terms of like switching for Vanguard here, but it's certainly defensible. I think what I should have taken is Thrash of Raptors. I think my takeaway from like looking at these draft viewers today and also thinking about the matches that I've played this week is that I'm not valuing that card high enough.
It's so good.
Really good. If you're able to prioritize dinosaurs, like having a 5/3 trample is just tough to deal with. And even if you trade with it, you're probably taking some amount of damage off of it. And if you've built an aggressive deck around it, it's just even better. So I think I should have taken Thrash of Raptors here and just sort of like pigeonholed myself into dinosaurs to take advantage of Regisaur Alpha. What I unfortunately did, and this is, I think, the worst pick that I made, was take New Horizons because I was like, I want a Dirtle. I don't want to be green-red dinos. I want to splash Regisaur Alpha. And I think New Horizons is important to the deck, but this was a bad pick. I think I should have taken Thrash of Raptors or Odonto Vanguard if I wanted to hedge. And then this next pick, I'm just curious to get your take on. You're looking at a pack with Crash the Ramparts. That's the 2 and a green combat trick, +3/+3, and trample until end of turn. A Fathomfleet Firebrand, a Pirate's Prize, and a Tillinolly's Knight, the 1 and a red 2/2, that when it attacks, if you control a dinosaur, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn.
Yeah, so you're between the 2 red 2-drops there, mm-hmm. I would assume. And yeah. I think I would be on Fathomfleet Firebrand just as an intrinsically way more powerful card than Tillinolly's Knight, except mm-hmm. if you end up in like the most focused of red-green dinosaurs decks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'd be on Fathomfleet Firebrand there this early in the draft.
That is what I took as well. But I wonder if I went Regisaur, Pounce, Thrash of Raptors, if Tillinolly's Knight is a better pick there for like, I think also for signaling, like... Fathomfleet Firebrand goes in any red deck, but might lead someone towards Pirates, whereas Tillinolly's Knight sort of has a Dinos Matter clause on there, so leads people to maybe only play it in red-green or red-white. But yeah, really tricky draft. to navigate. I did end up grabbing a Sailor of Moons next and getting some sort of spicy blue-green control deck splashing Reggie, but it was a bit of a mess getting there, and I think I probably should have just gotten a good dinosaur deck instead.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
All right, hope you all got your draft fix from that episode. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was super fun. We should do those more often. That was really interesting. I can't think of more drafts that we had different opinions on.
No, this was good. And it's so late in a format that people are saying is just not interesting. Like, I think the drafts in this format are very interesting.
I think so too.
Yeah, it's great. Next episode, we do have a guest lined up. So there will be a guest on next week for Lords of Limited. And thank you, as always, to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
Speaking of this format not being dried up, we are still doing the XLN treasure hunt. If you want to unlock some sweet, sweet board states and send us a screenshot to be eligible for a draft set giveaway, you can do so by hitting us up on Twitter at Lords of Limited, at Lord Tupperware for myself, at Mr. Metronome for Ben, or shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com. The treasure hunt will be done December 20th. We have already unlocked the 18-hour stream, which will be announced shortly. We'll figure out a date for that, but it will be a vintage cube extravaganza with both of your Lords of Limited co-hosts. And speaking of streaming, come check us out, twitch.tv/LordTupperware, twitch.tv/MrMetronome. Both of us are streaming almost every day right now. We've been having some good handoffs this week. I like that.
Yeah, it's been great. I really appreciate you shipping me the host.
Oh, man. I mean, I get hosts from other people. I'm happy to pass it on, and particularly happy to get to pass it on to you.
Yeah. If you've got any feedback about the show or questions, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com. If you've got a draft you want us to navigate, send it to us, please.
Yeah. Any drafts that you have questions about navigating, any picks you're looking at, any board states from games. We got a lot of good feedback about the episode where we looked at a bunch of different like decision points, our decision paralysis episode, which we'd like to do another one of those in the future. But we need more board states to look at. So if you've got some like interesting decisions that you faced yourself, take a screenshot, ship the picture over to us. We'd love to talk about it. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Lords Unlimited.
Yep. Thanks, everybody. See you later.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. livewithchampion.com.